Turn with me again to Acts chapter 9. We're just going to share a few thoughts from this passage. And as I said earlier, this is probably one of the most famous stories in the book of Acts, certainly. And it's all about this encounter that Jesus has, not just with Saul, but also with Ananias. Often we think of this passage as primarily the time when Saul encountered Jesus and was saved and became a changed person. And of course, it is about that. But it's also about Jesus' encounter with Ananias. And Ananias is sort of like a picture of us, in a sense, a follower of Jesus, a disciple of his, trying to walk with him and seek him and follow him. And Jesus breaks into his life as well and gives him this whole new direction as he seeks to follow him. And we'll unpack a few of those things just as we go along. But there are lots of amazing things that go on in this story, as we read. God breaks in supernaturally. We've been singing about that, about God's light. He breaks in supernaturally to give Saul and Ananias a glimpse of who he is. We see this light flashing from heaven. We see Jesus appearing. There's a conversion. There are visions. There's healing, baptism, new life. It's got it all. So it sounds just like a regular Sunday here in the Comfort, doesn't it? There's lots of amazing things happening. And as I was preparing for this morning, the phrase that kept running around my mind was this: when God lifts the veil. When God lifts the veil. Because this story is all about God giving two men a glimpse into the unseen realm. It's a story about the supernatural breaking into the natural. Jesus stepping in and lifting the veil between heaven and earth. And as a result, Saul and Ananias and countless others, including us, would never be the same again. Now, you might be wondering, okay, that's an all right title, maybe. But this is our Global Mission Sunday. Didn't you get the email from David? What does all this God lifting the veil stuff have to do with global mission? How does that tie in? And I think, as we will hopefully see as we go along, that all mission should flow from an encounter with the living, risen Jesus. All mission is sustained and strengthened through the Spirit's work in us and through us as God continues to reveal himself throughout our lives. And all mission will end, actually, at the very end of days, whenever God finally lifts that veil into eternity, and we will see him face to face and be with him forever, not just us, but with people from every nation and people group and language. So that's why I think this idea of God lifting the veil is so tied into our view about mission. And I just was praying on the way up, you know, if God lifts the veil for us this morning, if he just gives us a glimpse into who he is, it could change everything. It could change your life. It could change mine. And so I pray that he will speak. He will reveal his heart and his life to us, and that that will stir us this morning. So I simply want to highlight four things that jumped out to me. There's so much in the passage, but four things that happen or can happen whenever God lifts the veil between heaven and earth, and how mission is the most natural response to seeing a greater glimpse of who he truly is. So the first thing that I noticed was that when God lifts the veil, he leads us to the ground. When God lifts the veil, he leads us to the ground. Look at verse 3 and verse 4. Saul was breathing out these murderous threats. He was on his way, hell-bent on destruction and on bringing people back into this kind of sense of captivity, bringing them from foreign cities back to Jerusalem. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, verse 3, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And that verse 4, just really jumped out to me. I'm not sure why, but just this picture of this man who seemed so confident, so strong, on his way to persecute believers, to do maximum harm to followers of Jesus. And suddenly, he hits the ground. He falls to the ground with the power of Jesus' light and presence. And there's something about encountering Jesus that should humble each of us and lay us low. Jesus literally floored Saul. He hit the ground as he encountered him and heard his voice. And the brilliance of Jesus' presence didn't just ground him for that moment, but it blinded him for 3 days. And it literally changed the rest of his life. It was going to take prayer and even a divine intervention of God for his physical sight to be restored. Such was the power of this encounter of Jesus' glory when he lifted the veil to reveal himself to Saul. And this man who was so defiant, so proud, so arrogant, so zealous to persecute believers was now humbled and in awe and on the ground as he met with Jesus. And by contrast, isn't it interesting that his companions didn't actually see this Jesus? We know from future accounts of when Paul recounts this story that Jesus appeared to him on the road. It wasn't just that he saw light, it wasn't just that he heard a voice. He saw Jesus, but his friends didn't see him. They were right beside him. They heard something, but they didn't see him. And I don't know about you, but I would rather be on the floor but see Jesus than still be standing and not see him at all. Our God can lift the veil of our hearts and reveal himself. God can floor us by his light. He can set our hearts ablaze, stir us with a holy hunger and passion. God, when God breaks into our lives and answers prayer and blesses us and meets with us, our first response is simply to be in awe of him, to be low, to bow low. And so if there's a stirring in your heart, if there's something inside you whenever you hear the name of Jesus, when you hear about who he is, then that should lead us first and foremost to this awe, to this reverence, to this worship. That's what happens when God lifts the veil. The second thing of what I see in the text when God lifts the veil is that he leads us to prayer. So he leads us to the ground, and then he leads us to prayer. In verse 11, when Jesus met with Ananias in a vision, he told him to go to the house of Judas, as we can look on verse 11, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. One of the first things that Saul did after encountering Jesus was he began to pray. He had come to Damascus to persecute. Now he was in Damascus to pray. He had become a new person in Christ. And one of these first things, one of these key things that he was beginning to do and learn was prayer. Joseph Parker, an old preacher from the time of Charles Spurgeon, based in London also, he said, Christianity makes new hearts and new creatures, and not just new plans and new habits. There's something about when we come to Christ that we are made new. The old goes, the new comes. And Jesus had done something new in his heart, and it had resulted in true prayer. And I want to encourage us, and you are a praying church. I don't need to encourage you to pray because you are the example of doing that. But true encounters with Jesus should lead us to the place of prayer. It's such a natural response to a supernatural encounter with him. And that's why prayer is so key when we think about mission, a mission to our world. Saul, in many ways, was like us. He was in a place of weakness. He was in a place of need. Perhaps he was overwhelmed at what had just happened to him. Maybe he just wasn't sure what to do next. Does anybody ever feel like that in life? I do sometimes. I know I certainly do when I think about the world and I look at Afghanistan and Yemen. Sometimes I don't know what to do. But he decided to pray. He was learning to depend on God. He knew that God could bring the breakthrough. God could bring the answer. And this is our great hope, isn't it? This is why we pray. We pray because we are not able to change things ourselves, but we're asking God to move in powerful ways, in ways that only he can do. How can the Akdam, the Mahamashin, be reached with the gospel? It must begin in the place of prayer. And that's why I'm so grateful for you continuing to pray for this people group. E.M. Bounds, the famous guy who spoke about prayer, had this lovely quote. He says, God shapes the world by prayer. Prayers are deathless. They outlive the lives of those who uttered them, outlive the generation, outlive an age, and outlive a world. Prayers are deathless. That has been striking my heart so wonderfully over these weeks. They have no expiry date before God. He remembers every prayer of faith that has ever been prayed by you, by your family, by anybody else. God is answering prayers today that maybe were prayed by your parents or your parents' parents or even generations ago, people that you have never met around this area, around other parts of Northern Ireland or wherever else. They have prayed into something, and maybe God is answering. Maybe your presence here today, maybe your salvation story, maybe that's an answer to a prayer that somebody prayed many, many years ago. And that's why we're praying for the Maha Machine, because one day when they do step into this place of faith in Jesus Christ, perhaps God will reveal that it was in response to answered prayer that people had been taking them on their hearts long before they had ever even heard about Jesus. So when God lifts the veil, it leads us to prayer, as it did with Saul. Thirdly, when God lifts the veil, he leads us to see better. There's this whole motif that's running, this whole theme that's running through the passage about sight and lack of sight and light and all of these wonderful things, and that could be a whole other talk and sermon sometime. But as you know, Saul was blind for 3 days after his encounter with Jesus. That was a pretty powerful encounter. Physically, he was in a weak place. But ironically, in this place of natural blindness, he was learning to see even clearer and even better than he had done before. I remember before I became a Christian at the age of 17. And I had just started to wear glasses around about sort of 15, 16. Couldn't really see things off in the distance, the blackboard. It was usually a good excuse to say I didn't know that we had that homework to do. But then I got glasses and I didn't have that excuse anymore. I remember, though, I was going to church. And maybe like some of you here, you're still sort of trying to figure out. You maybe haven't given your lives to the Lord yet. And I was believing everything I was hearing, believed in God. I just hadn't given my heart to Jesus. That was really where it was at. And I remember one day very clearly thinking about the song Amazing Grace. We know it so well. And the lines that said, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And I remember wondering as a 15-year-old or 16-year-old, if I ever became a Christian, I wonder, will my eyesight get better? Maybe I'll not need to wear glasses anymore. And that was kind of the thinking in my mind. I didn't sort of fully understand Amazing Grace. Now, I want to make something clear. Please do not be fooled by my lack of glasses this morning, because I can tell you that when I did become a Christian, my physical eyesight did not become any better. If anything, it's got worse as I've got a little bit older. But of course, what the song was getting at is that how God opens our eyes to see him spiritually. When we come to Jesus, he removes that veil, that bit that we couldn't really figure out who Jesus really was. He removes that and we begin to see him with our spirits as well as with all of our other senses as well. I often describe my conversion experience as going from everything in the world, in my world, going from being in black and white to going into color. It suddenly felt like everything had burst into life, even though it was sort of the same, but it was also completely different at the same time. And when we give our lives to Jesus, he opens our eyes to see him and to see life in a new way and in a way that it's meant to be. Now, it's possible that Saul may have known Ananias' name. Possibly. We don't know. Ananias seemed to be well known in the community, well respected among the Jews, as well as being a disciple of Jesus. So he could have been on Saul's hit list as he was going to Damascus. But one thing that Saul would not have known was what he looked like, or that he would come and help to restore his physical sight. Only God could have revealed that. And that's what God did through a vision in the place of prayer. He revealed something to Saul that hadn't happened yet. God gave Saul eyes to see what he was doing and yet to do. He was still blind physically, but he was learning to see spiritually. And Joseph Parker, again, this preacher, he mentions about this, that how as we pray, sometimes God can give us fresh insight and revelation and understanding about things. This is a quote from him. He says, we speak about strong impressions, impulses we cannot account for, movements, desires of the mind which lie beyond our control. Even now, we are startled by unexpected combinations of events. Do you ever get that? Where some people put it down to coincidence and you're pretty sure it was an answer to prayer. It's just this things just kind of seem to work out in a way that you hadn't expected. He said there's a mysterious side to life as well as an obvious side. And so if you would see the spiritual, you must keep down the material. I'm not sure why, by the way, all the preachers had this kind of very, you know, grimace kind of look on their faces. They were always very serious, weren't they? But that was the best picture I could find of them. But hopefully this has been your experience as following Jesus, that he has moved in you, prompted you. Sometimes you don't know why you pray for something or why you want to send that WhatsApp text to someone just to encourage them. Or maybe someone's sent you a text out of the blue and you've just been like, I really needed to hear that. And it's that kind of moving of the Spirit. It's that kind of God giving us sight and insight that goes beyond what our eyes see. It goes beyond what our ears hear. And that was what God was doing with Saul. He was helping him to see better. He was lifting the veil and helping to see things through a spiritual perspective and not just a natural one. And the final thing, thank you for your patience. This is our final point. When God lifts the veil, he leads us to go. He leads us to go. After Jesus revealed himself on this road to Damascus, his first command to Saul was not, stop persecuting me and my church. Jesus simply said, get up and go into the city. It was a call to action, a call to motion and movement, a call to go. The physical destination that Saul had been going to, Damascus, was the same. But the reasons for going had completely changed. And sometimes I want to encourage you on this Global Mission Sunday, as we think widely, as we think broadly, sometimes the most godly, missional, Jesus-honoring thing that you can do is just keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep praying. Keep being faithful. Go into your family and love them. Go into the classroom and teach well. Go into the office and be present and available. Go into Monday and Tuesday morning with thanksgiving in your heart. Keep going in the direction that you're going, but with a fresh vision of the Christ Jesus who lives in you and goes with you. But sometimes the go from God is to more challenging places too, and we see that with Ananias. He told him to go to the house of Judas and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. It was a call to go to the most unlikely of persons and to serve him. The very one who had Ananias on his hit list, possibly, God was now putting him on Ananias's prayer list. But it was the same essence. God was calling Saul to go. He was calling him to act. He was calling Ananias to do the same, to follow the Lord's direction wherever he would lead. And this is what Jesus does in our lives, isn't it? He humbles us and grounds us. He leads us to the place of prayer. He helps us to see, begin to see more with his eyes. And then he calls us to go somewhere, to follow him, to get involved in his work on the earth, even at times to the most unlikely of people and places. So as I close on this Global Mission Sunday, I'll let you join up the dots. I trust that the Lord has been speaking to you in some way through one of those things. But what is it that he's saying as he lifts the veil in your life? Where is he leading you? There are millions of Muslims like Mariam and many, many others who have simply never met a follower of Jesus. In Acts 9, reminds us that Jesus can and Jesus is meeting with people in visions and dreams today. He's doing it across the Muslim world. He can do the road to Damascus thing without our help. But the beauty of the gospel is that God doesn't need us.
but he wants us. He's called us. He's chosen us to know him, to share in his life, and to be carriers of this great name and this great person to all kinds of places and peoples. So as God lifts this veil in our lives, where is it that he's leading us to this morning? If this idea of going to the unlikely people and places makes you feel uncomfortable or hesitant or anxious, then I want to say you're in good company, because I feel the same a lot of times when God asks me to go somewhere to do something. So did Ananias, and so did pretty much everybody who seek to follow God's will. But with God helping us as he continues to lift this veil to who he is, and as we continue to move simply in response to his voice, he promises to move in mighty ways across Macrofelt, across the Mahamasheen people group, across the nations of the world, until the final day when that veil is taken back. And that's what we're singing about when I stand in glory and I see his face. Let the wonder of that day sink in, when God will remove the veil, when death no longer exists, when sickness is gone, when viruses are gone, when every tear is wiped away, and where there is this multinational, multicultural people of God singing, "Salvation belongs to our God." This is our great hope on this Global Mission Sunday, and this is the great work of God that we are invited into. So may the Lord bless you as you keep your eyes on him and on the nations of the world, and may he continue to lift the veil and lead you wherever he leads you. Amen.